John the Baptizer is back again this week. For those of you that were here last Sunday, Reverend Yando talked about how John is the one that announces the coming of the Messiah, the one who messages was for everyone to be prepared for the advent of the Savior. He is the voice crying in the wilderness, "Repent, shape up, stop doing all that you've been doing, the direction in which you've been going, and start doing what God wants you to do. Go in the direction of God." In John's gospel account, however, there's an emphasis. The emphasis is different than last week. This part of John indicates that John's message isn't about shouting in the wilderness anymore. He is being questioned. But they've got the wrong person. They've taken him in and they've begun to interrogate him. That's what John's gospel account wants us to see right off the bat. John is not the Messiah. It is a case of mistaken identity. It's easy to understand how the mistakes must have been made. John was extremely religious. He renounced the ways of the world. He lived out in a desert. He clothed himself in animal skins and ate off the land. He scrounged for locusts and wild honey. He was a religious fanatic, but the people loved him. They flocked to hear him preach. There was a passion and an authenticity about what John said and how he grabbed the people. His message was being heard. People were coming out in droves to hear him and to be baptized, with a baptism that John tied to the kingdom, tied to God. His baptism were on the River Jordan. They were highly symbolic. You recall that the Jordan River, many years ago, the ancestors of the Hebrew people crossed it as they entered the Promised Land. It was for them a new beginning. That's what John was calling them to make, a new beginning. And what better, more symbolic place than to use the River Jordan? So when the word came to the religious authorities of the day that this was going on, they said, this must be the Messiah. There is some who say this is who he is. It has to be that John the Baptist. It couldn't be anybody else. All the evidence points to John. So according to the gospel text, they sent out priests, Levites from Jerusalem, sort of a recon unit, out into the desert beyond Bethany to John. "Who are you?" they asked. He confessed, "I am not the Messiah." Now notice the gospel writer chose the word confessed. It's as if there was some legal proceeding going on. "I am not the Messiah," he confesses. Then they asked, "What then? Are you Elijah?" Reasonable and important question, because according to Jewish religious tradition, Elijah was supposed to come before the Messiah. And John said, "I am not." "Then are you the prophet?" An unnamed prophet was another expectation before the Messiah. Nope. Finally, they said, "Who are you? Let us have an answer, because we have to go back to the people that sent us." John said, as we heard earlier, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way to the Lord." They asked, "Well, then why are you baptizing if you are neither any of those people?" And he said, "I baptized with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of those whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." They got the wrong man. It was a case of mistaken identity. And that's how our reading ends. It's a great story, but it's a little unsettling. "Among you stands one you do not know." That sounds very cryptic. It sounds like the Messiah is hiding. "Among you stands one you do not know." It sounds like Christ is in disguise or something. John's gospel goes on to tell us the next scene beyond where the reading stopped this morning. It's that John finally puts the finger on the Messiah, this Christ. John sees in the distance Jesus coming towards him. And in the presence of the religious authorities, he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's your man. He's the one." And John goes on to tell us that from that day forward, the religious authorities began keeping an eye on Jesus, just so they could get enough evidence to arrest him. You have to wonder, would they have ever found him? Would they have known him? Would they have ever figured it out if John hadn't spilled the beans, let the cat out of the bag? John seemed to know who he was, but nobody else seemed to know who he was. Jesus wasn't what the people expected as the Messiah. He was born in that stable, not a mansion, born to peasant parents, not royalty. He was raised in a little backwatered community in an insignificant corner of the mighty Roman Empire, far from the power, not even a provincial capital. There stands among you one who you don't even know. But that's entirely consistent with the rest of the portrait that emerges from the gospel accounts, from John and from the others. John puts it in this way: he was in the world, but the world knew him not. He went to his own home, and his own people received him not. Even his own disciples didn't always seem to know him. On one occurrence, he was talking to Philip. "Have I been with you so long that you don't know me?" Later he said, "A little while and you will see me no more." Then again, further on, he says, "And you will see me." Is it any wonder the disciples were a little bewildered, kind of confused? "What is he talking about?" they might have asked. It sounds like a case of now you see me, now you don't. What you do know is not right. What you will know is better. Among you stands one you do not know. This morning's gospel lesson reads a little bit like a scene from a TV drama. If you've watched any crime dramas, then you probably heard the expression MO. It's short for method of operation, or a recognized pattern of behavior. What we have in this passage is nothing less than a revelation of God's MO. He stands among you as one unknown. That is the way God works in our lives. It's just not the way God worked then. It is the way God continues to work. So if you're suspicious about something in your life, that something around you is happening, if you are on the lookout for God, but you don't seem to be able to find him, you shouldn't be surprised, because that's how God works. First of all, he'll appear in a disguise. We shouldn't expect bolts of lightning out of the blue or deep voices coming out of clouds or bushes and things. God doesn't usually work that way. But many have accounted seeing God. God probably slips in and out of our lives. Countless of people have been claimed spotting him. They didn't recognize who he was until he was gone. They never imagined what has happened to them was often the work of God, because they were looking for something bigger, something more divine, and they didn't really know that they had experienced God until it was over. But it was something dramatic, supernatural, and extraordinary, and they knew that this was different. Granted, God has appeared in visions and epiphanies and dramatic moments. There were seas that were parted and other things. It says so in the Bible, and I know that you know that. But there's also other stuff. Stuff we shouldn't count on happening to most of us. But the truth is, God will most likely come because that is what he does. He might even be here in the church today. Who would expect it? Remember the story from Luke's gospel? How the resurrection, two people were walking down the street, they were joined by a stranger. They talked, and as they talked more. They came to an inn. The two invited the stranger to share a meal with them. The stranger breaks bread before them, and they suddenly realize it's him. They swear to it, but then he disappears. Among you stands one who you do not know. That's the moment. There's been times in the worship life of this congregation when the custom of passing the peace during the worship service, of greeting those beside us and around us, and we share the peace of Christ. The ritual was dropped, wasn't for everyone. However, it's something we might want to think about and maybe take more seriously. It's not just an opportunity to say good morning to your friends. It's a chance to welcome to one another what it's like to have Jesus in our midst. Among you stands one you do not know. Who knows who's in our congregation? Who knows who's in our week? Who knows where we're going to find God? God often comes as a friend, but you just never know. That's why you always have to be prepared. There is one more piece of evidence on this matter, perhaps the most helpful clue, that one finds most consistently with God's MO. We should prepare to find God in circumstances that are most humble among the poor. That is the most incredible evidence of all for many, the most scandalous, the most offensive, the most confusing, namely that God took on human flesh, and he took on poor human flesh. When God became a human being, God elected to come out as an outcast, of the one that we'd walk by, the one that we wouldn't notice, the one that we wouldn't take any time with. Of all the people chosen to be the instrument of our salvation, it's going to be a humble peasant woman that's going to be the center of this. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Every crèche scene you see this Christmas season drives home the point. The Savior was born in a stable, poor conditions, the opposite of fancy. If we're to find him, then we need to take a look for him there. He even told us to do that. Whatever you do for the least of these, you have done for me. That's where he'll be, among the poor, the least, and the lowly. And it means more than that. It means not only that the poor are to be the object of our charity, especially at this time of the year, it also says the poor have something to give us. It's the quality that in the Bible is called blessedness. Blessed are the poor, for those is the kingdom of God. In this Advent season, as we prepare to celebrate Christ's coming and continue to live with the expectation of Christ one day coming again, John has a word for us. You want to prepare for this coming. I'll give you a clue. He stands among you as one who you do not know. So expect him anywhere, in the stranger, in the friend, among the poor. To you, go in his name. After all, if God came to us in a manger, God could show up anywhere. So be prepared. Amen.